Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are prayers of the saints. So when you think your prayers don't do anything, God has them all. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And I want to speak for just a few moments this morning on this thought, the redemption of all nations. The redemption of all nations. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We are so thankful, God. Señor, tu presencia que sentimos en este lugar. El poder del Espíritu Santo que está fluyendo. Sigue tocando, sigue obrando, manifestando tu gloria, Señor, en nosotros hoy. God, that you would do a work in every heart in this place, every need in this house. We believe it. We thank you. You are faithful, God, to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Let me lay a little bit, I'll run through a quick foundation here, but the purpose of the book of Revelation is not to reveal scary things. It's not to make people afraid. Revelation, that's not what it's about. And people want to know definitely what's happening. Hollywood wants to know, the world wants to know, but the purpose of Revelation is to show Jesus Christ in his ultimate work of redemption. That's the reason he came. I came to seek and to save, to give my life a ransom. The healing and all that's great, it's wonderful. That's a byproduct of what Jesus came to do, to redeem fallen humanity. So John is out on the island. They sent him to die a martyr's death. Obviously, he didn't. He wrote. We have what he wrote. And Revelation chapter 1 is beautiful because it tells us who Jesus is. The first and the last, the beginning and the end, that was and is to come, the Lord God Almighty. Pretty important picture of what it paints for us of who Jesus is. And you have to remember, this is from someone who knew Jesus personally. This isn't from someone that read about him or heard about him. This is someone who knew him personally. Chapter 2 and 3, we have the letters to the churches. However you interpret those, but we have the letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor. In chapter 4, we have come up, which many believe is the rapture. I won't delve into that, whether you believe it or not. John was taken up, and he went into a place, and the Bible gives us John's description of the throne room. And it's amazing, his description, because he tells us the colors and the sounds. He doesn't say, I was just in a room, but he gives the colors of what he saw. He tells the sounds of what he heard, and he describes what he saw everywhere. And of all the description, I love what he said. He said, I saw one throne, and there was one seated on the throne. There wasn't one next to him on a little throne. There wasn't one on the right and the left on many thrones. There weren't two thrones. There was one throne, and there was one sitting on the throne. John's description is pretty clear, and he tells us what he sees in the throne room. But it kind of goes from maybe euphoria to tragedy. Because in chapter 5, there's an angel. And the angel has the scroll. And it's written within and without. And the angel goes and he's looking and he's proclaiming, he's asking, who can open the book? And who can loose the seals thereof? Because you see, if the scroll isn't open, if the seals are not loosed, the rest of God's plan doesn't happen. Somebody's got to be able to do it. But the Bible tells us John begins to weep. It's interesting because it says that there was no one found in heaven or in earth or beneath the earth that was worthy to loose the seals and to open the book of what God had designed. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5, John begins to weep, and one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." Now the angel said there was no one in heaven, in earth, or beneath the earth. That means, stay with me, I'm not preaching heresy, God was not worthy to open the seals. There was no one anywhere to open the seals. But he explains what happened. He says, "Do not weep, because the Lion of Judah has prevailed to open the seals." Because God is a spirit, and a spirit could not open the seals. Not my plan, God's plan. Because a spirit, verse 6 tells us this, "I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne, from that very throne, and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out unto all the earth. Out of the throne came the Lamb." John is watching a timeline of history. God is a spirit, and a spirit cannot redeem humanity. All of the sacrifices of the Old Testament did not forgive sin. They pushed it forward looking for a day. All of the law and the prophets could not redeem us. They pushed it forward looking for a day. That's why the writer of Hebrews said, "Jesus is better. He's better than Moses. He's better than Aaron. He's better than the law. He's better than the sacrifices. He's better than the tabernacle. He's better than the temple. He's better than Abraham. He goes beyond Melchizedek. Jesus is better. He offered himself once and for all, and it's done, and it's over." What John was seeing was God manifest in the flesh, taking on the form of humanity. And the angel says, "Don't weep, John. I know it looked bad and it looked like it wasn't going to happen. But the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that Lamb, God came off the throne and manifested himself in flesh. He can take the book. He can open the seals." No one could open the seals. No one could let God's plan unfold. But God took on the form of humanity. God walked in flesh. He robed himself in this weak humanity. It's already been established that Jesus is the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the Lord God Almighty. He who was and is to come. That's what it tells us. In chapter 1, and out of that one throne that John describes, in chapter 4, I saw one throne. I saw colors. I heard things. I saw light, but one throne. And there was one seated on the throne. And out of that throne comes the Lamb. God took on the form of humanity. Verse 7 says, "Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne." The promise of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, that a redeemer is going to come, that you're going to bruise his heel, but the seed of the woman is going to bruise and crush his head. You may crucify him. You may hurt him a little bit. You may hurt this fleshly body. But what he does at Calvary is going to crush the work of the enemy. Because Galatians says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. He didn't send Jesus a year early or a year late. When the fullness of time was come, when the world was prepared, when Rome had streets and roads and transportation so the gospel could get around, when the Greek was the language spoken in the whole world, when that happened, God sent forth his son, and the church went across the whole world preaching the gospel. God's timing is always perfect. His timing is always right. He's never late. He's never early. He sent forth his son. Jesus came. And I quoted it earlier. You all know it. His mission and his purpose was to seek and to save the lost. He didn't redeem us with gold and silver. Peter said, all the gold is okay, but there's something much more precious. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Just so you know and you remember, God does not have grandchildren. He only has children. Every one of us that have repented of our sins, baptized in Jesus' name for the forgiveness of those sins, filled with God's Holy Spirit, we are his children. We're not his grandchildren. We're not his great-grandchildren. We're not generations separated. He is our Father. By his blood, he's redeemed us. Praise God. I know we talk about it, and sometimes we kind of gloss over it. Redemption, to redeem, simply means paying the price required. There is no gold. There is no silver. There's no platinum. There's no tritium. There is nothing that exists in this world that can take away one itty-bitty sin of ours. Nothing. There's nothing we could do to deserve it or to earn it. We can't be good enough. We can't do enough. We can't work enough. We can give everything we own, and it does not forgive one sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. That lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That one that was in God's plan from the beginning. I created man knowing he was going to fall, knowing he was going to reject me. Just think with me for a minute. The Roman soldier that drove the nails into the hands of Jesus, into the feet of Jesus, Jesus himself gave him the strength and the ability and the hand-eye coordination to do that. He knew that was coming. He knew that it was going to happen. But he said, I'm going to create humanity anyway. I'm going to redeem them. I'm going to robe myself in flesh. I'm going to pay the price. They can't do it. They're born in sin. They're shaping in iniquity. It's fallen humanity. But I will redeem them. Not with anything we've done, not with our works, lest we should boast, not with our ability, lest we think we're something. It is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You've got to understand that, because it helps us to stay humble. It helps us to understand I'm on the same level as every one of you. We may have different positions. We may hold different offices, but we are the same before God. We're his children, no matter what language you speak, no matter what culture you're from. My wife and I just came back. We were 2 weeks in Peru. We were in Ecuador. We went to the Galapagos Islands. We had one of our brothers from the Amazon in Peru. He came there. He's one of the native people, has a church. It took him, I think, 8 days to get to the conference we had. He speaks, I can't even tell you what he speaks. He also speaks Spanish. We took pictures with him. He was excited. He put his native dress on me. That's a whole nother picture. I'm just the same as him. I'm not better than him. He's not better than me. We spent 2 weeks in Africa recently. We were in Zimbabwe. We got to be in South Africa. We got to be in Botswana. Went to a little church in Zimbabwe. The whole church was about half the size of this platform. They're renting a schoolroom in a building there, full slammed to the wall. I'm the same as them. They're not better. They're not worse. We're all redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something today. You have brothers and sisters in Ukraine in the midst of the war. You have brothers and sisters in Russia in the midst of the war. You have brothers and sisters in Israel. You have brothers and sisters in Gaza. You have brothers and sisters in Lebanon. They've all been redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That is the purpose and the reason why we do. Verse 9, they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals. Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." God's plan was and is and always will be the redemption of all people. The worst among us need him the most. The worst among us need him the most. Abraham was not a Jew. Abraham was called a Hebrew because Hebrew means crossed over. Abraham was a Gentile. There was no such thing as God formed the Jews separately from the rest of humanity. God took from humanity, Gentiles, everyone, pulled out Abraham. All right, I want you to start my people here. Abraham was a Gentile. But God's plan was never to save just the Jews. His plan was for them to affect those around them. But they didn't. They went the ways of the nations. God said, "I want you to change them. I want you to be a light. I want you to be different." But humanity can't do it without God. They can't do it without the Spirit of God. The patriarchs couldn't do it. They failed miserably time after time. David failed. Every king failed. We fail and we have the Spirit of God. We are fallen. Humanity is what we are. But God's desire has always been to bring everyone in. Rahab was a harlot. She certainly wasn't a good Hebrew lady. Yet we find her. Ruth was a Moabite. God said, "I hate Moab. I don't want Moab to the 10th generation around my people. Get them out. Kick them out." Oh, but I see a Moabite right here. I want her to be in the lineage, not just a Jewish lineage. She's the lineage of Jesus Christ. Because his plan was for all nations. His plan was for all people. His plan was for every skin color, every language, every tribe, every person on the planet. As a woman, Syrophoenician woman, she came to Jesus. "Oh, son of David." He ignored her. The disciples said, "Send her away." Finally, she got desperate. "Help me." He said, "I can't give the children's bread to the dogs." She said, "I don't want the bread. Just take a crumb." Got it. She was a Gentile. He was saying, "This is for the Jews." But she touched his heart. "I don't need what they get. I just want a little bit and I'm..." Got it. The Samaritan leper that Jesus healed. He shows us all through his ministry. His purpose was not just one people. His purpose was everyone, every nation. Paul said, "I'm going to the Gentiles." It wasn't an accident. It wasn't just, he said, "All right, I'm done with you," shaking the dust off, "we're out of here." But that wasn't an accident that it happened that way. When he was converted, he said, "You're going to take my name before people and kings and rulers." It wasn't just the Jewish, it was everyone. That's always been God's plan. And John said they've been redeemed from every kindred and tongue and people and nation. I know that we look at the world map and we see countries, but if you're my age, the map has changed. The Soviet Union no longer exists. Czechoslovakia no longer exists. Things have changed around the world, the countries and borders and stuff. That's constantly changing. But he covers it here. He said, out of every kindred. Kindred means a tribe, a clan. Not just the tribes of Israel, but tribes around the world. I spoke earlier when we had our Q&A about the unreached people groups. There are tribes all across the world. Still today, they're tribal people. Some of them dress what we would consider modern. Some of them don't. Totally still in their native dress, native culture, 100%. They're cultures within cultures. But he said, out of every kindred, every tribe. I don't care what tribe you belong to. I don't care if you're married with this one or that one. Out of every tribe, you've redeemed us by your blood. And they began to sing the song of the redeemed. That the unredeemed cannot sing. You can try, but you cannot sing it because you're not redeemed. He said, out of every tongue, that is specific language groups of people. There are languages today that are dead. There are languages that are no longer spoken. There are languages that have developed, if you study that throughout history. There are certain languages that in our lifetime, we think these are the predominant languages. Trust me, 4,000 years ago, nobody was speaking English. But he said, just so you know, out of every language, I don't care what you speak. I don't care how weird it is. That language that my brother speaks in Peru in the Amazon, he sung a song in that. My wife may have filmed it. I don't know. She may have taken a video. I don't understand a word. I could get the Spanish. I don't understand. God understood it. And God said, out of every language, out of every tongue, because the purpose is the redemption of all nations, all people. He said, out of every people, in other words, a people group with or without a border, with or without a government, crossing borders. Borders are man-made. I'm not against borders. Don't understand me. God established borders for Israel. Don't think I'm saying, well, there's no borders. Just do what you want to do. Everybody has a border. Even the people that say we don't need a border in our country have a border because their home is not open to anybody. They just said it somewhere else. I'm not against borders, but there are people that exist outside the boundaries of political borders. And God said, those people redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's who Jesus came for. That was the purpose. That was the reason. That was the mission. That was the ministry. I don't care if you're from this group. I don't care if you speak that language. The Samaritan woman said, what are you doing talking to me? He said, I got a mission. I got a purpose. I got a plan. What are you doing eating in the house of sinners? I've got a purpose. I need to reach him. Jesus, you didn't know that woman is a sinner. She anointed your feet. I know she's a sinner. This is important what she did. She's preparing me for something. Everybody deserves to be saved. And he said, out of every nation, every defined border, every country, every UN recognized or whatever you want to, and you think, wow, that was 2,000 years ago, but he covered it all. Because if he said just out of a nation, well, nations have changed, so this nation no longer exists, this people no longer exists, this group no longer exists, they've been exterminated, they've been killed through warfare, whatever. He said every nation, every kindred or tribe, every people, every tongue, no matter where you fit or fall, that's why the Lamb came and shed his blood. It's the redemption of all nations. Every person on the planet, every individual, it doesn't matter your age. Now, I'm not saying God's going to give the Holy Ghost to a one-year-old. Don't misunderstand me. But I've seen kids get the Holy Ghost at 4 and 5 years old. I've seen them speaking in tongues at 6 and 7. I baptized my daughter at 8 years old. Some people say, well, she understood what was happening. She begged us. She told us. And my wife was like, well, let's wait till we get to church. And she said, in essence, what if Jesus comes before I'm baptized? My wife said, okay, let's go get baptized. If you understand that, you understand what is happening here. I'm not saying you're a theologian. But we baptized one time in El Salvador. We baptized an 80-something-year-old and like a 30-year-old and like a 9 or 10-year-old. And so Brother Castellanos, the pastor, he said, we baptized 2.5 today. So your immediate thought is the child is the half. He said, no, that old person is the half. They ain't got much left to give. I was like, okay, I got you. But it doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter if you're 60, 73, 92, 17. It doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have. It doesn't matter the car you drive, the house you live in. Nothing matters. Jesus came to redeem all people, all nations, all languages, all tribes. Now, let me tell you this. You could argue it, but you'd be wrong. Nobody is pure anything. Nothing. No one is pure. Well, I'm pure. Nobody. We're all Heinz 57. In El Salvador, we would call that an aguacatero. You're just like a mutt. We're all mixed. There's no pure anything. Again, the Jews were taken out of Gentiles. So stop with it's a special bloodline. We're all mixed. You study history. I love history. I read history. I listen to podcasts all the time about history. Warfare. Every nation leaves in its wake. Every army leaves in its wake. Babies everywhere. They take the women as slaves. They kill the men or enslave them. It's happened for eons. There is no one pure anything. My blood's not better than your blood. Oh, well, I'm this. No, no, we're all. And all of us need to be redeemed. My blood doesn't matter. My blood is worse than your blood. Because I've had West Nile, dengue fever. My wife has had it twice. We can't donate blood. We can't give blood. We're infected. Our blood is bad. But my blood can't redeem you. Your blood can't redeem me. It's the blood of the Lamb. Every nation, every tribe, every kindred, every tongue, every people, every border, every outside of border, every age group, every socioeconomic class. It doesn't matter your skin color. It doesn't matter your body type or style, your finances, your political leanings. Everybody can be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So I'll tell you a quick, I think it's a funny story, but it's sort of, and I'm going to be done in about 5 minutes because I'm getting kind of hungry. Anyway, so our daughter's adopted. We adopted her, took her from the hospital, 17 days old, flew her down to El Salvador. So that's where we were. Now, her birth mom, they're in the church in the States. We know them, and we've had Christmas with them, and we spend time with them. And so her birth mom's husband, they have two boys, and so again, my daughter has a relationship with them and everything. So her birth mom's husband, he'd come out to the house, and he wants to hunt a deer. And so he would always tell me he's Native American. And so I hunt with a bow. Most of my hunting's bow. And I use a compound, but I also hunt with a long bow. Traditional stick and string. Not a recurve, just old school. And so he's like, bro, you got to teach me. That's my people. You got to teach me. That's my people. I'm like, okay. Okay, we could do that. So he had a DNA test done. He's majority Nigerian. I say that to say, none of us, this is a dude living in the Midwest who thinks he's a Native American, and he's majority Nigerian, which we laugh, it's a blast, it's awesome. None of us are pure anything. But the Bible says this, Acts chapter 17, verse 26. and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitation. We are simply human beings. We're one blood. We're one people in the eyes of God. This is one church. There's no better church. There's no bigger church. There's no special church. There's no American church. No. We may live in a certain geographic area, but we're one body, one blood. He has made us one blood. All men, they're one blood. And all of us need redemption by one blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That lamb that stepped out of the throne, that lamb that took the scroll, took that book, and was able to loose it so the redemption could happen. Because at the end of Revelation, it says he's going to wipe away every tear from our eye. We're going to be with him for eternity. I want you to stand with me. The blood of Jesus redeems today. I'm here to tell you it's more powerful than your weakness. It's more powerful than your addictions. It's more powerful than your failures. It's more powerful than your fear. It's more powerful than your pride. The blood of Jesus is redeeming today. Don't take this the wrong way. I hate those flag parades. I hate them when we do them at General Conference. I'm going to tell you why. Because I wish I wasn't going to sit in an office next week. I wish I was preaching under a mango tree in El Salvador. I hate going to BOTT. Who's willing to give and go? Resign today. But God has us where he has us. Humanity. We're losing ground. Church is growing. It's exciting. I could tell you stuff. Some stuff I can't tell you. It's exciting what God is doing. We're not keeping up, not even close. Humanity is racing headlong into hell. And they need to be redeemed. They can only be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But there is opportunity. Jesus is here today. I've never been to this church. I don't know most of you. I know a couple. I don't know most of you. If you are here, and you've never repented of your sins, you've never been baptized in Jesus' name. Baptism doesn't make you a member of this church. Baptism washes away your sins and put you in the body of Christ. They're not mutually exclusive, but you don't get baptized to become a member of this local congregation. You get baptized for the washing away, the remission, the cleansing of your sins. If you've never repented, if you've never been baptized, if you've never received the gift of the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit in filling your life, you could do that today. And you could say, as the Psalmist 107:2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You can declare it, I've been redeemed. He paid the price that I couldn't pay. He did what I couldn't do. He gave what I was incapable of giving. Lord, I want to declare that I'm redeemed. And we declare that to our world. We declare that to our families. We declare that to our friends. So I simply want to do this. I'm so thankful today. I told earlier, I had mentioned I wasn't raised in the church. I'm so thankful for the church. I'm so thankful for people that cared, that reached out to me reached out to my sister and I. Her and her husband, pastor in Tennessee. Never imagined the things that we would see that God would do with our lives. So thankful. Honestly, Brother Walden, I'm just glad to be here. If God, He don't have to do anything with me, I'm just glad to be here. So I want to do this. I think it'd be good for the redeemed of the Lord to say so for a little while this morning. Or this afternoon, I guess now. But if you're here, you've never repented. You've never received the Holy Ghost. You've never been baptized in Jesus' name. You can do that today. So in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to come. If you need the Holy Ghost, I'm going to ask you to stand on this side. And there's a reason, because I want to pray for you. And I want to pray specifically for you. I don't want to just pray God bless them. I want to pray specifically if you need the Holy Ghost. But also I want the body. The reason we do All Nations Sunday, the reason we do missions offerings, the reason we go on AYC trips, the reason all of this takes place is because every one of these flags represents millions of people that need to be redeemed. They're lost without Jesus Christ. It's not to come hear me preach. It's not just to see the flags go by. There's a world that needs Jesus. So I'm going to ask you this. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. And if you need the Holy Ghost, if you need to repent, I want you to make your way to this side. Not that nobody else can come to this side, but hopefully I can pray for you specifically. And some of the church leaders help us. If you know someone, bring them. Bring them to the altar. Accompany them. Don't send them by themselves. And then, if you just want to say again, Lord, I am so thankful to be redeemed. I am so thankful to be redeemed. I'm thankful, Lord, that you washed my sins away. I'm thankful that that blood was applied to me, regardless of my status. Then I want you to make your way to this side of the altar. There's no room. You can crowd wherever. That's okay. But I want us just to spend a few moments at the close of this service. Lord, thank you for redeeming me. But God, help me to reach somebody else that needs redemption. I believe you can fill the stadium. I believe you can do it. In just a few years, the stadium in El Salvador is going to be too small for us. We can't do it. My wife and I preached the general conference in the Philippines this year in February, I believe it was. There's no stadium that will hold the United Pentecostal Church of the Philippines. There's no stadium in the country that will hold our church in the Philippines. And God doesn't love the people in the Philippines more than He loves the people in the United States of America. I want us to bow our heads. Lord, we love you. God, we are so thankful you've redeemed us. You've washed us, Lord, by your blood. The only thing that could do it. The only thing that could pay the price. God, you paid it when we were incapable. While we were yet sinners, you died for us. God, you have not paid us according to our sin. You have not given us what we deserve. You've given us, God, mercy and grace through redemption. I'm praying, Lord, right now that your Spirit continue to move in this place. I'm asking, Lord Jesus, that you would touch and fill today. Let there be forgiveness of sins in this house. Let there be redemption flowing in this place. Let there be the infilling of the Holy Ghost in here. I pray it, Lord. I believe it. And let there be a fresh unction in every one of us today, God, to reach those that need redemption. To reach those that need to be saved, to reach every tribe, every kindred, every people, every nation, every tongue. God, no matter who they are, help us, God, to be stirred anew and stirred afresh, to reach all nations, all people. God, we love you today. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. This altar is open. I'm asking our musicians to lead us in worship. Those that want to come can come. I'm not going to beg you. I'm not going to ask again. The altar simply open, and we'll pray with those who want to pray. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.